Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. What is tasawwuf? An incident in the life of Ra'isul Ahrar, Mawlana Habibur Rahman Sayyidiyani. As the Sheikh Jullari stated, there are many people still alive who met Ra'isul Ahrar, leader of the liberals, Mawlana Habibur Rahman Sayyid. And there are many more who have heard about him. Towards the end of his life, the late Mawlana developed a great love for me. Our relationship got so strong that Hazrat
soul. However, in the early days, our relationship was acrimonious. In those days, he never came to Mazahir Ulum. I, however, had to go to Deoband occasionally on errand for Hazrat to the Kutub Khana library to search for a kitab or to seek counsel and mashura from the esteemed principal of the institution. Ra'isul Ahrar was fully aware of who I was and also knew that I was the son of so-and-so and that I was a mudarris in the madrasa. I only knew this much about him, that he was a student from Ludhiana who had no interest in studying or teaching, and that he was more interested in student politics and leadership. Since the only work he did was to roam around, therefore I always came across him two or three times whenever I went to Deoband. Whenever he passed me, he would express his disgust at me loudly. He knew that I kept aloof from politics. He also knew that I was totally opposed to reading newspapers. In those days, there was no question of reading newspapers in Deoband and Saharanpur. No student or mudarris in Saharanpur was even exposed to the curse of gleaning news from the newspapers. Two or four newspapers were sometimes strewn on Hazrat's bed after Asr. Guests from outside occasionally glanced through these. In Deoband, Maulana Ijaz Ali Sahib and his associates were strictly opposed to reading newspapers. However, Maulana Shabbir Ahmad Uthmani and some of the other mudarrisin occasionally glanced through newspapers. Whenever the late Ra'isul Ahrar saw me, he would proclaim loudly that this type of human being is a burden on earth. Why does he rather not die? For a man like this, the bowels of the earth is better than its surface, and other such insults and taunts. This worthless servant could not summon the courage to retaliate or shout back at him. A few students will come to my rescue and send a message to him that it is haram for you to eat the roti of this madrasa. Madrasa donations are not solicited to promote political leadership. Any person who has no link with studying or teaching and does not attend classes nor conducts any research must know that it is haram for him to eat the madrasa food. It is not permissible for such people to use the madrasa boarding facilities. It is a sin for them to utilize any facility in the madrasa. When these messages reached the mahroom, he became more incensed. This continued for a few years. However, Allah Jalla Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala guided him in the final stages of the life of Fakhrul Awliya, Hazrat Al-Hajj Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayhi. May Allah illuminate his resting abode. He pledged the bait to him at the hands of Hazrat Al-Hajj Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. It was the general practice in those days that anyone who sought to pledge the bait to Ala Hazrat, then Hazrat, due to weakness and illness, could not himself repeat the words of bait. But Hazrat Maulana Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayhi will announce the words of bait. To place one's hands in the hands of our illustrious elders never goes without an effect. To place one's hand in the hand of our illustrious elders never goes without an effect in taking bait. Thus, this relationship did not go without bringing any color. In the end, Ra'isul Ahrar's relationship with Maulana Abdul Qadir Sahib was one of pure love, and due to Hazrat, this love was extended to this dark soul too. However, the marhum spent the initial few years after the bait engaged in political activities. Kolkata, Bombay and Peshawar were his thoroughfares. Saharanpur is the junction for all these places. Thus, whenever he passed through Saharanpur, he always went to Raipur to spend a day or night. There are thousands of people alive today who witnessed the exceptionally deep love that permeated Hazrat Aqdas Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri's relationship with this dark soul, this Nakara. But by way of an explanation, I will narrate an incident to you. My sincere friend Sufi Iqbal of Pakistan, who then went to Pakistan, to Medina and passed away in Medina Munawwara, Sufi Iqbal. So my sincere friend Sufi Iqbal of Pakistan, who now lives in Medina Munawwara, was employed at the time in Pakistan. Whenever Hazrat Raipuri visited Pakistan, Sufi Iqbal would write a letter to me. In the letter, he will insist in strong terms that in reply, I shall ask him to convey my salams to Hazrat Raipuri. He added, because if in the after Asr Majlis I say that I received Sheikh's letter and he conveyed salams to you, then I am instantly called closer to the bed and he immediately starts asking and inquiring about your condition and then asks me about my own condition too. Due to this, I get the opportunity of sitting close to the bed till Maghrib. Due to this intense relationship, whenever anybody went to Raipur, Hazrat's first question was, did you meet Sheikh on the way or not? If the person replied in the affirmative, then he will inquire further with great happiness and enthusiasm. He also inquired what the person was doing and whether that person was well and what I was doing and whether I was well or whether I had sent any message. If the person replied that he did not meet me en route, then Hazrat will not pay too much attention to the man. He will treat that person in accordance with his relationship with that person. This relationship compelled me to meet many people, Ra'isul Ahrar being one of them, who despite me not wanting to meet them or it being repulsive to my nature, yet I was compelled to stand and shake hands with them so that they can say that they met me and I have conveyed my salam. This relationship compelled many people amongst them, Ra'isul Ahrar, to meet me despite them not wanting to meet me or finding it inconvenient or uncomfortable to do so. Despite this, they exerted themselves to meet and shake hands with me so that they could go and say to Hazrat Raipuri, we met Hazrat Sheikh, we met him and he has conveyed salams. I too, despite not being heartedly enthusiastic to meet such people and no matter how busy my schedule was and no matter how important work I was engaged in, always called them in and conveyed salams to Hazrat through them, lest they go and say that we went to meet him but we were not allowed into his company. This was the only type of association I have with the late Ra'isul Ahrar for many years. One day at 10 o'clock in the morning, while I was heavily engrossed in work in my room upstairs, Maulvi Nasir Sahib came to me that Ra'isul Ahrar has arrived and that he is on his way to Raipur and only wishes to shake hands. I said, send him in quickly. He climbed up the stairs and just as he stepped onto the platform, he made salams, stretched his hands out to shake hands and said, I'm on my way to Raipur. I only wish to ask you one question. I will return the day after tomorrow in the morning. You can think about the answer till then. I will hear the answer from you on my return. He asked, what bala, what imposition is this tasawwuf? What is its essence? I stretched out my hands to recuperate his handshake and simultaneously replied, tasawwuf is rectification of the intention, purification of the intention. There is nothing else in tasawwuf besides this. Its beginning is innamal a'malu bin niyat, all actions are judged according to intentions, and its end is an ta'budu Allah ka'annahu tara, that you worship Allah as if you are seeing him before you. On receiving this answer from me, he stood dumbfounded. He remarked, I have been pondering over this question from Delhi and thought that if you answer like this, then I will object in this way. And if you reply in this way, then I will counter reply in this way. I did not even think about it in this way. I said, go, the tanga driver, horse-drawn carriage has also got other work to do and I'm also busy. You can ponder over any objections you may have to my reply till the day after tomorrow. Do bear in mind that I do not have the time to engage in lengthy discussions during the day. I may only speak to you for 2 to 4 minutes. If you wish to engage me in a lengthy discussion, then do so after Maghrib. The marhum arrived the next day in the evening just before Maghrib. He said, it is difficult for me to stay till tomorrow night because I have to attend a certain jalsa and I have to spend a night with you because I left a day earlier on the pretext that you are expecting me. Before this, I never had any confidence in you nor love for you. I said, ala hazal qiyas, make the same deduction, the feeling is mutual. The marhum said, your reply yesterday had a great effect on me and I have been pondering from yesterday till now, but I can find no objections to your answer. I said, Maulana, inshallah, you will not be able to level any objections. Innamal a'malu bin niyat, all actions are judged according to their intentions, is the beginning of a tasawuf, and an ta'budu Allah ka'annahu tara, that you worship Allah as if you are seeing him before you, is the object of tasawuf. This is called nisba. This is called meditation. This is called consciousness. Hafiz, if this is a share poem. Hafiz, if you desire closeness to him, then do not be unmindful of him. When you meet the friend, then leave the world and everything else. I added, Maulvi Sahib, all the pauper, thin, crisp, cake made from pulses. You know the papar we had yesterday? This papar is rolled out for this purpose. It's a papar binna padta hai uske liye. Zikr bil jahr, audible zikr, is for this purpose. Mujahada and muraqaba, meditation and sacrifice, are also for this purpose. Any person whom Allah Ta'ala blesses with this great wealth through His grace and munificence has no need for anything else. With one alchemistic gaze from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba Kiram attained all this and had no need for anything else, no type of zikr, mujahid, etc. After them, the elders and physicians of the ummah prescribed different treatments to cure the murid's spiritual maladies plaguing the ummah, just as the physicians of the body prescribe different remedies for the treatment of diseases. In every age, the spiritual physicians prescribe treatments for spiritual diseases as they deduce from the experience of their learned predecessors. They then prescribe a special remedy that benefits some very quickly and others after some time. I then narrated many stories to the marhum. You may study these in the ABT Volume 2, 5th Majlis. A warning. As the Sheikh stated, Mere Pyaro, my beloved children, spend the month of Ramadan in exceptional calmness. The day that passes will never return. We have no guarantee of whether we will see the day the next year or not. You gave up the comforts of your homes. If after this you still do not attain anything, then it is just pain upon pain. However, I repeatedly tell Maulvi Nasiruddin and his companions, Sheikh Inamullah, to make a special effort in preparing the best food at all times. Fear becoming the head and patrons of a madrasa. Hazrat Sheikh stated, the saying of our senior Hazrat Raipuri, the patron of Darul Uloom Deoband and Mazahir Uloom, may Allah illuminate his resting abode, is very well known. I have personally heard this from him too. He said, I do not fear anything as much as I fear being appointed the head of a madrasa. When Hazrat Saharanpuri narrated this, he said, I too have great fear for this. The patronage of Mazahir Uloom was forced on me. I have received 2,000 to 2,500 letters from various madrasas and makatibs requesting me to be their patron. I have always declined these requests on the basis of my legitimate excuses. Imagine 2,000 to 2,500 people requesting him to be the head of madrasa. And everybody wants to be president today. And everybody wants to be head. And these 2,000 to 2,500 people want him to be head of the madrasa. No. Decline. Our seniors, Hazrat Raipuri, often said, if anyone is employed and fails in fulfilling a task of the employer or abrogates a trust or causes a loss to him, then he will be fired. If one seeks forgiveness from the employer at the time of death too, and the employer pardons one, then one still has an opportunity to be forgiven. However, the money that is obtained in madrasas or waqaf, anything waqaf, masajid, madaris, anything, comes mostly from collections from the poor public. We as patrons and head of the madrasa or the masajids are definitely not the proprietors of that money. We are mere trustees. If we are extravagant in any way in spending and utilizing this money, then even if we forgive each other, then too the matter cannot be pardoned, because what right do we have to forgive the rights of others? It is a different matter if we turn a blind eye to any violation due to expediency for the benefit of the madrasa, then I have great hope from Allah Ta'ala that He will pardon us. However, if we show kindness because of our mutual relationship, then we also become a party to the offense. However, the offender cannot be pardoned, because that is hukukul ibad, the rights concerning the servants, and the donors from whom the money was collected are so plentiful that it is not possible to go to each one and seek pardon. Our elders do caution and piety in matters of madrasa or waqaf stuff. Hazrat Aqdas compiled a circular some time ago for circulation amongst the respected asatiza, teachers, administrators, employees of Madrasa Mazahir Uloom, Saharanpur. In that circular, he narrated a few incidents of the elders and predecessors with whom he enjoyed close ties, and described the high level of piety and care those eminent personalities adopted in matters of the madrasa. He specifically described how they will tremble about being held accountable in the akhirah in this connection. That circular was published in the conclusion of the ABT, Volume 1. Due to the relevance of the subject, I will quote a few incidents from there. Hazrat Aqdas too narrated these incidents in his majlis at various times. You see me burping loudly. And Allah has given me this punishment. You know, I read in Abiti many times, Hazrat would say, that I thought of my akabir like this something, and then Allah give me that same thing. My uncle Hazrat Maulana Hashim, he's also Khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, alhamdulillah. I grew up with him from the age of 12. And he always had high expectations of me, and he had a lot of husnizan, and he still does. But he had diabetes, he had all these other sicknesses. Right now he's in a wheelchair. And he's younger than my dad, he's my dad's first cousin. So many times, it's that very loudly. And I didn't know anything about gas. I didn't know that there's something called sickness in the stomach. A person has, you know how sometimes passes wind all the time? So sometimes a person has gas and he has the sickness of the stomach, which makes a person burp. Halaki, his stomach is empty. It's not because of food. The one that is not good, it's not loud in public, is the one due to excessive food. Burping through excessive food. I don't think nobody thinks I sit behind there and eat food, right? But you see, it's afternoon time, and I don't think I had. I had a lot of iftari, I had a lot of sehri. I fill my belly all the time. But the issue is that I haven't had food this morning, like since the time you guys haven't for this burp. So I used to think my uncle, and I didn't think low. But what I thought this was, I feel ashamed because my uncle is such a big bazook, and people are going to look how much he ate. But I didn't know it was through sickness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since about 5-6 years, has given me this sickness. And especially when I'm fasting, it happens a lot. Burp, burp, and very loudly too. So that's, and I used to think my uncle, bichara, oh no, everybody must be thinking he has so much food, and look how greedy he is, and burping. Halaki, it's totally, it's just due to sickness. Understand? Yes. I take medicine, herbal medicine for it, that my father-in-law gets from India, the two goalies. And that's, you know, and also for cleaning, you know, the stomach and that. So these things are there. And now the sickness of sitting on this too. Understand? A chair. Understand? It's, you must be thinking, why? Well, one is, it is sunnah to give a talk on a chair. It is sunnah too, so this is also intent. I'm actually, my leg, my back, the disc has moved. And because of that, I usually have pinched nerve on the right side. I have extreme pain. And since over 1-2 years now. And this is why I've become a little bit weak. So that's why I sit on a chair, and I know it's disrespect to the people are sometimes down, especially I feel guilty, all these kitabs and everything, Quran, everybody reading Quran, it feels very, very, you know, uncomfortable, but I have to sit, understand? So 2 times Dr. Ajaz came in Qiyamul Layl, and you know, when a doctor tells you with muhabbat and love, without any motive or anything, then you have to respect their opinion. He told me before too, he said, try sitting on a chair. I know that it's hard, that you have to, you're there and everything's down, but try to sit on a chair. So my friends here sometimes bring the chair for me, and then I sit on the chair. Otherwise, I like to sit on the floor with everybody else, and even on just normal thing, because the harder surface, it's better for your back and everything. But you should never ever lean against a wall just like this. My father-in-law told me especially, never. Right now it's hot, but usually it's cold. Understand, wall, and it's very bad for your back. If you're leaning against him, put a wood. My sheikh used to put a wooden thing like this, or you put a pillow or something. To just lean on a bare wall, it's very bad for your back, especially the coldness that hits your back, and you get all these sicknesses. Understand? So, excuse my burping. Our senior, that's actually is a punishment for me for just having even thoughts about our elders. And our senior Hazrat Raipuri Hazrat Sheikh has written this many places in Abiti. Understand? Yes. Our senior Hazrat Raipuri often said, if anyone is employed, our elders do caution and piety in matters of madrasa. He especially described how they will tremble about being held accountable in the akhirah in this connection. That circular was published in the conclusion of Abiti, Volume 1, due to the relevance of the subject. I will quote a few incidents from there. Hazrat Agdas too narrated these incidents in his majalis at various times. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ali Muhaddis Saharanpuri, the compiler of the notes and commentary on Bukhari and Tirmizi, went to Calcutta to raise funds for the old building of Mazahir Ulum. Maulana Muhammad Ali Saharanpuri, Maulana Muhammad Ali Muhaddis Saharanpuri. You see our big Bukhari over there, those that big over there. All the hashia that's written around is him. and all are usually say sitta books, Tirmizi, Bukhari, one another. So that's how maqbool, Allah's meaning, all those are studied in the subcontinent, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and those. That this, his hashia, the commentary of the Bukhari, that right around it. If you open it up, you'll see at the sides like this. That's his. Since Hazrat Maulana lived in Kolkata in the past, thus he enjoyed a close relationship with some people there. On his return from Kolkata, Maulana submitted a detailed account of his travel expenses to the Madrasa administration. I personally studied that report. In the report, he also noted, I went to meet a friend in a certain suburb of Kolkata. Though I raised a lot of funds there, but my niyyah was to meet my friend. Therefore, I request that the expenses I incurred while traveling to and from my friend's home to be deducted from my salary. That's taqwa. Two, after spending a year in Hijaz, Hazrat Aqdas Sayyidi Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib, Nawwarallah Murkadu, may Allah illuminate his resting abode, returned to Mazar Ulum at the end of the year, 1344 after Hijrah. My father, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yahya Sahib, passed away in the beginning of Zulqada. Hazrat declined to accept a salary from the madrasa. He wrote, due to my weakness and advanced age, I was unable to fulfill the work and duties of the madrasa for many years now. However, in my absence, Maulana Muhammad Yahya Sahib continued teaching the final year of kitabs. Now that he has passed away and I am unable to teach fully in the madrasa, thus I am unable to accept a salary. 3. Mazahir Ulum staged their annual jalsa. I never saw any of the senior mudarrisin or employees eating the food prepared for the jalsa or having the tea and pan that was purchased for the guests. I saw them all bringing their own food and eating. However, Hazrat Nawwarallah Murkadu, may Allah illuminate his resting abode, joined the special guests of the madrasa for a meal. However, food sufficient for about 10 to 12 people was cooked and brought from Hazrat's home and placed before the guests. Hazrat only ate from that food. I did not see him eating from the madrasa food at all. Maulana Inayat Ali Sahib, the principal of the madrasa, stayed in the madrasa for 2 nights and a day during that period. During the day at Zohar time and at 12 o'clock at night, he will sit in one corner of his office and eat his cold and simple food that was brought from his home. 4. During my father, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yahya Sahib's tenure there was no kitchen facilities in the madrasa, nor was there any place where food was sold near the madrasa. Food was brought from a certain shop near the Jami Masjid. In the winters, especially in the evenings, the food was already cold by the time it reached the madrasa. He would place the gravy dish near the hammam, the place where the water was heated in the madrasa, but never inside the hammam. The dish was placed outside the hammam. The heat from the hammam heated the gravy in a short while. Every month he donated 2 or 3 rupees to the madrasa to compensate for the benefit he derived from the heat provided by the madrasa in the hammam. My father never accepted a salary in the 7 years that he served in the madrasa. 5. Hazrat Maulana Inayat Ali Sahib was the principal of the madrasa Mazar Ulum and was also the mufti. He was entrusted with all the legal works pertaining to the madrasa. He always had 2 ink pots in his office. One was for his personal use and the other was for madrasa work. He also stored a few sheets of paper under his personal ink pot, which he used to pen any note he needed to send to his house. If the need arose to send a note home, he used his personal ink and paper. He never used the madrasa ink or stationery for his personal notes too. You see? Where can we find such thing like this in this today's society? Can't even think of it. Those were my forefathers present to me. Those were my forefathers present to me. Any like them, when you gather our accounts to compare, O collector of biographies. Ya Jarir, Ya Jami'ah. On seeing those luminous lights, the remembrance of Allah is kindled. They are indeed the heirs of the prophets. They are the shades of divine mercy. These are the people whose sleep is superior to the worship of others. It is their piety that instills pride in the Musalman. Their esteemed conduct befits the heirs of prophethood. Their task is to protect the traditions of deen. They live in this world but have no link to the world. They wade through the ocean of temptation, but not a drop moistens their clothing. When they sit in solitude, then they enjoy divine company. And when they sit in company, then they are soft-spoken scholars. I'm opposed to comfort and luxuries in madrasas. As the Sheikh stated, one of the demands of the striking students in the strike that took place here was that 100-watt bulb be fitted in the courtyard of the student's residence. I replied, we have no problem in fitting the bulb, but do ask those who are demanding this to reveal what type of bulbs burn in their own homes. The fact is that a mere paraffin lamp burns in their own homes, because they're totally poor students, comes from Dihat. I was totally opposed to the installation of electric fans in our madrasa. Hazrat Nazim Sahib, Maulana Abdul Latif, rahmatullahi alayhi, returned from Rangoon with a contribution for the installation of electric fans in Mazar-e Ulum. I stated that this will never be installed in my lifetime. After a period, the donors from Rangoon inquired about the installation. I said, if they want to stipulate how their money must be utilized, then return it to them. The fans were eventually installed during the era of Maulana Asadullah Sahib as the principal, the Khalifa of Hazrat Tanvir, a very great personality. It is a generally accepted tradition amongst the madrasa administrators not to return money that was already accepted. My opposition to the installation of fans was based on the premise that if students from the inception get accustomed to luxuries and start desiring comforts, then can one reasonably expect them to accept employment in a masjid or madrasa for a meager salary? In fact, they will seek big salaries, and if they are unable to secure big salaries, then they will venture into businesses, etc. My opposition to electricity in my home. A man was an associate of Hazrat Aqdas Madni, and who always had love for me, went to Deoband to install electricity in Hazrat's residence. He then came to me and said, I wish to install electricity in your house. I declined his offer, saying, I will not be able to meet the expenses that will be incurred. He said, the expenses are on me. I again declined his offer. He said, I fitted electricity in Hazrat Madni's house. I said, Hazrat goes to jail a number of times a year. Where can I compete with him? And he's got mujahada already in him. Huh? However, after my return, despite my vehement objection, Mawvi Nasiruddin and Abul Hassan had electricity installed in my home in my absence. Simplicity. Hazrat Sheikh stated, the hadith states, إِيَّاكَ وَالتَّنَعُمْ وَإِيَّاكَ وَالتَّنَعُمْ فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِالْمُتَنَعِمِينَ إِيَّاكَ وَالتَّنَعُمَ فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِالْمُتَنَعِمِينَ. Abstain from comforts because Allah's chosen servants are not seekers of comfort. Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi went on Hajj. He was making tawaf of the house of Allah. Whilst Hazrat was making tawaf, a blind buzruk, a saint, was seated on the edge of the mataf. Whenever Hazrat passed him, he repeated, chanted in a low tone, Ilbis libas as-salihin, dress in the clothes of the pious. When Hazrat completed his tawaf, he approached this elderly saint. The man held his kurta before him and repeatedly said, Khushan, khushan, coarse, coarse, meaning of coarse clothes. He wished to indicate to Hazrat that the clothing of the sulha is of coarse material. Footnote. The purpose was that since Allah Ta'ala has made the inner pious so dressed in the apparel of the pious ones outside too, how long will you hide your inner piety by wearing other clothing? With thanks to Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib for this explanation. Understand? You guys understand that? The Waliullah grabbed Hazrat indicating that how long will you hide your inner piety by wearing fine clothes? People, you're hiding your piety. Understand? And today, put on a big pagri on my head and not even on that level. In those days, only great ulamas and mashaykhs used to wear amama. But today, I have an amama on my head. Those big people. Barhal, it's also sunnah of Nabi Kareem. Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi always wore amama. When he got heat in his head, he couldn't even wear a cap. He always had his cap off. A very thin cap he would have. And he would only wear a t-shirt and a lungi. Understand? And every hour, he would take off his t-shirt and it would go onto the line. And then another t-shirt. And then after 1 hour, another t-shirt. Because he would sweat. And he couldn't even wear a topi. But when he was young, he always had a black amama. He always used to wear a amama, Hazrat Sheikh rahmatullahi alayhi. I'm not, if a person could wear it with the intention of forbearance, Allah grows in forbearance. I am not all stopping you from eating strength-giving foods, because through that your brains will become strong too. Like sit with Imam Abdul Jalil and he'll feed you all this brain food. He'll give you all this badam and pistas and badam. I get to sit with him, so don't sit with him. You primed me yesterday night. Bear in mind, through the eating, these Hazrat Tanvi used to say, I'm not against spending on this. Spend money on food, even for your children. Give them the best nourishing food with the best vitamins. Spend money, because this is for their health and strength. Understand? So if you get healthy food for your children, that's not waste of money, and for yourself. And food for the dimag too. I'm not a... But all this, you know, this chips and all this... some chocolates are good because it's got cocoa. Cocoa is sometimes very good for you. But some, you know, things that we eat, junk food, that's not good. Like all this restaurant food. I'm not all stopping you from eating strength-giving foods, because through that, your brains will become strong too. Bear in mind, though the eating foods like gulab jamun, etc. will not increase your strength. But I state that wearing expensive and fine garments is absolutely useless and does not benefit you in any way. So if a person wears a cool thing on, it's not going to make him any... What? It doesn't do nothing. Understand? But I state that wearing expensive and fine garments is absolutely useless and does not benefit you in any way. Your nafs ego gets inflated. Remember your death and don't be obsessed with parais foods, abstinence diets. Remember your death and don't be obsessed with parais foods, abstinence diets, 6 majlis. Don't follow me in everything. Hazrat Sheikh said, Alhamdulillah, I never had to endure an abstinence diet during any illness. Once a number of boils broke out all over my body and a lot of matter flowed out from them. Hakim Sahib arrived from Gungo. He prescribed a decoction that was prepared and boiled for 3 days. It was very bitter. I drank it, but nothing helped. The Hakim stopped me from eating salt, spices, etc. During that period, Hakim Ayub and Maulvi Nasiruddin were studying the Maqamati Hariri by me. I taught these kitabs to them in the outside room. It's a Maqamati Hariri. We have it here. It's an amazing book. You got to see it sometimes. Understand? If that's amazing, imagine the people who know the Quran. Quran al-Kareem, Allahu Akbar. And the Quran. The Quran is amazing. So anything that's derived, any poetry or any good Arabic, is from the Quran. Understand? My mother had put some money in my pocket to distribute to the poor. I thought, who is poorer than me? I gave Maulvi Nasir the money and asked him to buy me kitabs from the bazaar. The kitabs were laden with chilies. I'm sorry. I gave Maulvi Nasir the money and asked him to buy me kebabs from the bazaar. The kebabs were laden with chilies. I ate the kebabs to my heart's content. The excruciating pain and discomfort that I experienced for the next 2 or 2.5 hours made me think of death. Thereafter, I had an urge to relieve myself and needed to run to the toilet. As soon as I relieved myself, all those boils dried up. When I emerged from the toilet, people asked me how I was feeling. I said, I will tell you after 2 or 3 days. Brothers, you don't have to humiliate me in everything I do. The doctor said to him, don't you dare touch chilies. So he told Maulana Nasiruddin, listen, you see this chappal here. I'll knock your head in. If you tell anybody, just go quietly, get me a kebabs and tell them to put in extra chilies. This is the Nabiti, the story with details. And then he put in, he got a chili, and he said, bring it in quietly and don't tell nobody. And Hazrat ate it. And as soon as he ate it, he had to go wash him. His mother started worrying, too, what's happening? And he was thinking. And then afterwards, when he came out to the washroom, all his boils and everything came off one by one. Understand? So his mother was surprised too, what ilaj did he do? But the Hakim, the doctor, had stopped him totally from chilies. And if you had ate chilies, you would kill yourself. And that's why he thought that he was going to die. But what happened is he got cured totally. Allah cured him. So brothers, you don't have to emulate me in everything I do. Once Hazrat Raipuri, he had special sugar cane juice. Sugar cane juice is cold and it's for the stomach. You can get it at the flea market on Elgin, Warden in that. Pure, nice. It's very good. It tastes very good too, sugar cane juice. So he had it special in the fridge, and it had a note on it too. It's for Hazrat Sheikh when he comes. And it was a strict rule that nobody could. So some Khadim or somebody went in the fridge and they saw it, and they thought, oh, it's for Hazrat Sheikh. Let me just have a little bit for Barakat. He had some. But it had a strict note that, please, nobody touch this. You're not allowed to touch it. So he drank it. And when the person drank it, when Hazrat Raipuri was told, somebody drank some of that, he found out who was it. Was inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And I said with stress, and I had prohibited, and I also put a note that nobody is supposed to drink it. Now just khair happened. After 3 days he died. He said this was only for Hazrat Sheikh, and only Hazrat Sheikh could drink it. Understand? Because Hazrat was a spiritual doctor too, and he knew the spirituality of Hazrat. Hazrat Sheikh used to boil inside, as the Quddam say. because of his heatness inside. Understand? The compiler of the book heard that one day Hazrat Maulana Asadullah Sahib fell very ill. The compiler of this book heard that one day, yani Maulana Taqiyuddin heard this story. Yani this is another story of Hazrat Sheikh. The compiler of this book heard that, this is an Abiti, that one day Hazrat Maulana Asadullah Sahib, the Nazim of the Madrasa, fell very ill. Hazrat Sheikh went to visit him. While there he heard from someone who was checking Maulana's temperature that Maulana was running a fever of 102 degrees. Hazrat asked, check my temperature with the thermometer too. When Hazrat's temperature was checked, it was learned that Hazrat Sheikh was running as a much higher fever than Maulana, and that Hazrat's fever was on the last degree, 106, 105 or something like that. Hazrat Nazim Sahib and the other attendants were shocked because despite running this high fever, his teaching and other daily rituals were uninterrupted. Royalties on kitabs. Hazrat Sheikh stated, there are no royalties on my kitabs. Yani? What do you call it? Copyrights. There is open permission to publish my kitabs. The only condition is that special care must be taken to ensure that no mistakes or omissions are made. A person in Calcutta published the Fazail kitabs. He omitted a line from a certain text. The kitab was being read in a masjid there. A Maulvi Sahib objected and said, this is not correct. His objection was valid. However, an uproar erupted amongst those who had confidence in me. They asked, are you voicing an objection against Hazrat Sheikh? I was informed about this. I checked that text and after correcting it, informed them. Then only did the argument cease. Brothers, do not follow me in anything until you have confirmed the practice with the mufti and find out the fatwa. Understand? To express an opinion in any masala without research is a manifest error. Hazrat Sheikh stated, In the summers my father resided in the Shoemaker's Masjid. The students in those days were dutiful, unlike the present-day students who consider themselves erudite ulamas, scholars, and consider their attendance in class as an act of generosity in favor on the ustaz. There were many foreign students admitted to Mazar-e Ulum in those days. They served their ustaz to the extent that they massaged their feet too. On a hot summer day, my father was seated having a bath while his students were drawing water from the well in buckets, loads, and pouring it over him. A lawyer from the neighborhood objected that he was wasteful and extravagant. He asked, Where is it permissible to make ghusl in this way? My father replied, it is permissible for me. He was stunned. He said, everything is permissible for you Maulvis. My father replied, the Maulvis know the Masail and you do not know. My bathing at this stage is for tabrid, to cool my body. If bathing is for this purpose, then no limitation of pouring water only three times over the body applies. Hazrat stated, in the Ittidal, it is recorded on the authority of Shami that a person purchased an animal for qurbani and then lost the animal. He thereafter buys a second animal with the intention of qurbani, but finds the first animal later. In this case, if this happens to a poor person upon whom qurbani is not wajib, then he is obliged to sacrifice both animals. If, however, the man is wealthy, then he is only obliged to sacrifice one animal. He may choose any animal he wishes to offer in sacrifice and may sell or do as he pleases with the second animal. Now, that's totally against your aqal, isn't it? The masala is distinctly clear. However, the comprehension of this masala is dependent on understanding the principle of jurisprudence governing the ruling. Mere reason and rationality will not be adequate arrows to strike the target. A second masala recorded by Allama Shami concerns a person who forgot to make ruku in his salat and only recalled this omission after completing the salat. If this person offered the salat in accordance with the sunnah, as the pious and muttaqi offer their salat, then the salat is null and void and must be re-offered. However, if the salat was offered contrary to the sunnah, like the salat of those who do not know the ruling of salat, as many offer their salats these days, then the salat will be considered valid. Can one rationalize using reason or present lengthy arguments and convincing treatises on such masails without understanding the underlying principle and essence of the sharia that governs such rulings? Hazrat stated, my little daughter started the Qaida Baghdadi. She was on the Anbin lessons. When she reached the letter Hamza, she read it Hamzin. Understand? You know the letter at the end? Hamza, those about An. So why is Hamza, those about An? Is it Hamza, those about Hamzan? Should be, right? Hamza. Her mother sat, corrected her and said, this is An. She insisted, that mother, this has to be Hamzan. The mother got frustrated and said, when your father comes home, then ask him. When I arrived home, she asked me the same question. I said, my daughter, at this stage of your life, you are unable to comprehend the reason. So for now, read An, And when you grow up, you will understand. In short, to submit a personal opinion without understanding the principles governing the masail of Sharia is manifestly erroneous. Well, the way Hazrat explains it, amazing, isn't it? That little child. Understand? When you grow up, you can't even explain. So what can you explain to people who have not studied under ustaz for years and years, usul? We don't even know you've studied. Understand? So these masna masals and these things are very delicate. And Rasulullah said to us, Bilal, he said, this is riba. Go and do it like this. And the same thing was back to Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, and it became permissible. So Rasulullah knew that this is permissible, this is not. When Hazrat Bilal said, I got this one, for example, 1 kilo of second class dates for 1 kilo of first class, 1 kilo of second class dates, right? First class dates for this 2 kilos of the second class dates. I give him 2 kilos of second class dates. And he gave me one class of first class dates. Right? So Rasulullah says, oh, this is riba. What have you done? You've done interest. This is usury. It's haram. It's not permissible. He said, go back and tell him to take his 2 kilos back and you take your 1 kilo back. Right? The whole transaction, not it. And then your 2 kilos of second class dates, tell him to buy it. You sell it to him for example, $2 or 2 dinars. And then the same one kilo, he buys it for one. Understand? But just what? One is giving money and one is buying. Understand? So one, you give the dates here and you bought it. Understand? So it's halal. The same thing, he got the exactly same thing back. Hazrat Bilal comes back with the same thing, but done in a different manner, it becomes halal. So, it's permissible for an alim, it's not permissible for a gira alim. But people don't like it, but you have to like it, you have to lump it, you have to swallow it. Because if you don't know the masla, one thing becomes haram. If you go to a jeweler's, you know how the women, they go and they trade in their jewelry? That's not permissible. You can't just say, I trade this jewelry for that jewelry there. No. He'll weigh it, he'll give you the money cash. And that cash, then she can buy whatever she wants. But she can't say trade, because then it will become riba. She will get that same necklace that she wants, but she will have to sell this necklace of hers, not that she can think it, and there's a difference of amounts or whatever, she'll have to pay extra, whatever, and she'll get that necklace. Understand? So remember that for the woman folk too. So this is a person, when he has knowledge, understand? From this hadith of Hazrat Bilal Rasulullah, we see that a person, when he has knowledge, and something which is halal, which is not halal, for somebody else is because of knowledge. Understand? A person has knowledge. Because the same thing done in a different manner becomes halal. Understand? What is the definition of riba? Yadam bi yadim. Yeah, from hand to hand. Understand? The same amount of stuff. So that's hand to hand, the same kind of stuff. Understand? Same kind of stuff. So it has to be exactly the same amount. So if you give somebody 1 kilo of dates and 1 kilo in return on that. And sometimes when you borrow from your neighbors 2 tomatoes and that, it's a delicate issue. Understand? If you borrow 5 tomatoes, then you return 5 tomatoes, it goes by weight. I don't know, you have to ask the Mufti sahab. Usme chalega riba? Fruits me. It goes by kilos. Check it out. And there's a way of doing it, is that you don't borrow, if you borrow it, you have to return the exact amount in the exact amount weight. What you do is you just say, can I have 5 tomatoes? Understand? It's not good to ask. And if you do say borrow, you say, I borrow it, but I will return to you if Allah was, or you know, can you forgive it if I can't return the same amount? Understand? Or when you return it, you say that forgive anything that's beyond, or if it's beyond, alhamdulillah, it's good. If it's below, then it's forgive. Understand? Because it has to be exact amount. Things have to be exact amount. And I don't know about tomatoes. Check it out. I think usme bhi chalega. Usme chalega and fruits me. Wanna know? No riba in that? It's only the specific. Then how about flour? Flour. Flour is a thing. But I don't know about fruits, but flowers will. Usme chalega. To understand. Subhanakallah. Anashadadah. Anashadadah. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد وانزله المقدر المقرم عندك اللهم رب هذه دعوه القائم والصلاه النافعه صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال نير اذا لا تسكت وعده ابدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات المسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد وارحم محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وازواجه وذريه كما صليت على ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وازواجه وذريه كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ازواجه وذريته كما صليت على ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى ازواجه وذريه كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وازواجه امهات المؤمنين وذريته وعلى بيته كما صليت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وارحمنا محمد وعلى ال محمد كما ترحمت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحمنا على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الامي وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الامي كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الامي وعلى ال محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا ولك جزاء ولحق اداء وصل الفضيله ومقام محمد الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو له واجزي أفضل ما جاز زيدنا بين القوم ورسول أمتي وصل لي على جميع أخواني من النبي والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد بن أمي وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد بن أمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل بيتك كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل بيتك كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك لنا محمد صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلت إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي التحيات لله والصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار التحيات لله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله بالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني التحيات
الطيبات الصلوات ونمكن لله السلام عليكم يا حنين ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمد عبده ورسوله السلام عليكم يا حنين ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبة الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد عبد الله رسوله السلام عليكم يا حنين ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليكم يا حنين ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات الطيبات السلام عليكم يا حنين ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد عبد الله رسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليكم يا حنين ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم صل على محمد الله تحرقنا الله افتح فعل قلوبنا أسفل الله تحرق قلبي من غيره لا إله إلا الله سيدنا شفينا وحبيبنا سيدنا مولانا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله سيدنا شفينا وحبيبنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
إِنَّ اللَّهَ Inna Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ Hello.
سيدنا شفينا حبيبنا سيدنا حبيبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
الله تحيي القلب من غير ذكر ونور القلب من غير ذكر.